What gift does this feast offer you and me today? Every feast has an insight, an inspiration, or a challenge to help us run. What gift might God want to give you today? I invite us to listen closely to the reading, pray the prayers, sing the songs, and let the Spirit speak to our hearts. The first of several side notes. If you wonder how God works in today's world, where so many turn away from religion, watch the first Superman movie of 1978, with Christopher Reeve as Superman and Marlon Brando as his father. The parallels with Jesus' birth and life are amazing, in a way that cannot be coincidental. In today's gospel, we encounter Jesus, the spaced-out 12-year-old who has wandered away from his family to do his own thing. That thing happens to be hanging out with teachers in the temple. What might we say about him? He was born because his mother consented to the Holy Spirit's coming upon her, and the power of the Most High's overshadowing her and making her pregnant. This was not simply an impregnation and pregnancy. The Holy Spirit, which is the wisdom of God and God's love that guided the creation of the cosmos, shared with her that same wisdom and love. Then, from that wisdom and love, she and St. Joseph taught and guided their son in Jewish scripture and tradition, Jewish prayer, and Jewish faith. We see the early effect of their teaching in today's gospel, in Jesus' precocious intellect, yet humble willingness to question and listen. We will see the fullness of that teaching in Jesus' public ministry, passion, and death during Lent. And so all of this is with all of us. Another side note. In this homily, I'm going to speak in generalities about marriage and children. Marriage and raising children take many forms, and we must all be true to life as we encounter it, and appropriate the scriptural message as it is authentic to us. But for homily, I need to generalize. In the first stage of life, we're born because our parents consented to be married. The miracle of gestation and birth occurs, in our case, as in Jesus's, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the woman. And with the man's participation, she becomes pregnant with a child, with the Spirit's wisdom and the Spirit's love. As the child grows, as we grow, we in turn either bear children in the literal sense, or we parent children, as step-parents, foster parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, teachers, coaches, mentors, or Jesuits. If we're wise, we draw on God's Spirit of wisdom and love in the process, and we grow as the children we nurture grow. Then, in the final stage of life, we die, and we enter eternal life. This summary of the life cycle helps us see that our second reading is exactly right. We are children of God, children of our parents, brothers and sisters to one another, and parents to others. The second reading goes on to say, if our hearts do not condemn us, we can have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments. We might add that we can have confidence not only in God, but also in ourselves and in one another, and receive from one another whatever we ask when we remain in loving relationship with one another. But notice the dependent clause of the above quotation. If our hearts do not condemn us, nor we might have betray us, nor mislead us, the dark passions, the temptations of the heart are the kryptonite that weakens us and ultimately condemn us to life in darkness. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by lust for power over people, by the ego satisfaction of an atheistic self-sufficiency, and by the superstar's arrogance toward God. We will encounter these temptations again on the first Sunday of Lent. For the moment, it is enough to notice that Jesus resisted these temptations. You and I, on the other hand, have probably not been so wise thus far in resisting these temptations. So we must ask, how did Jesus do it? The answer is, by remembering the truth of our second reading, we are children of God. And our parents are children of God. Our brothers and sisters, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins are children of God. The annoying people we work with are children of God. The undergraduates who shout obscenities in front of my house on O Street at 3 in the morning are children of God. And all of them, all of us, carry the divine wisdom, the divine love within them, whether they realize it or not, whether they act on it or not. The latter, of course, is one of the challenges of our lives. Family members or friends or colleagues in our lives have not always been immune to the above temptations. Then you and I are faced with an additional challenge: to learn to love, to let go, to let be in the midst of a lack of love that hurts and damages and in some cases destroys. The promise of our lives of faith is that the adult Jesus, through his death and resurrection, makes a way out of the no way of despair that lack of love creates. Then the second reading reminds us that we shall be what we shall be has not yet been revealed. Your and my most authentic selves reveal themselves as we perceive, decide, act, and speak according to that which is within us. If we acknowledge and value the childhood of God inside us, as Jesus did, we will perceive, decide, act, and speak from God's wisdom and love within us. If we neglect or disregard the childhood of God inside us, giving in to temptation as Jesus refused to do, then we will perceive, decide, act, and speak from the darkness of our temptations and diminish ourselves, our selves, others' selves, and any sense of gratitude and service to the people. So what is the grace, the gift of this feast for you or for me? Perhaps it is to recognize your origin in God's love that makes us children of God. Or perhaps it is to recognize the divine origin in God's love of other people in our lives, or people beyond our circle, especially those whose words and actions create problems for others. Or perhaps the gift is to recognize the wisdom and love of the Holy Spirit alive in us all. Or to recognize Jesus the child, Mary his mother, and Joseph his earthly father, represent not only the Holy Family, but also our Holy Family. Through this Holy Family, God the Creator shares his creative love that sustains our unique selfhood and that guarantees our personal fulfillment as we enter into life-giving relationships with one another, parent children wisely, and serve God's family in the church and in the world. May the Holy Family continue to bless us with their holy familial love and peace today and in all the days to come.